Braid. Whoa, there's the signal. Go. They're off. Fifth grade or younger, there is a service for you. And they know that. I would like to invite the rest of you, if you will, this morning to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to continue our study in this passage. You know, originally in the scriptures, there were no chapter divisions and no verse divisions. And so those are sort of artificial. They were added later to make it convenient and easy for us to find things in the scripture. And a lot of ancient literature was done that way for that purpose. And so, nonetheless, we are clearly entering into a change of venue with Luke 8 because Jesus has been staying put. He's either been in the town of Nain, perhaps, or he has been back up north in the Galilee region, northern Galilee. But now Luke tells us he begins an itinerant ministry of teaching and working miracles and bringing practical ministry to people as he begins to move down through the Jordan Valley headed toward Jerusalem. And so we find out that as he begins to teach, Luke brings some things together that Jesus was teaching. And I want to emphasize that because we don't know if Jesus said all of these things only one time, or if he said them many times, or if he said them over a period of time. But Luke gives us a collection of statements that he may have given in a single sermon, or that he may have given over some time, that have a common theme. They are related in some way. When you first read Luke 8, you wonder what the parable of the sower has in common with the lampstand, which has in common with his family relationships, which has in common with other things. And yet, as you read verses 4 through 21, and you start to catch the similarity of theme, you find that a word that keeps coming up is the word hearing or the word listening. It all has to do with hearing. And the more we look into this passage, the more we realize that how we hear the Word of God is the unifying theme. And all of these statements that Jesus makes in this passage have to do with the attitude and receptivity of the listener who is hearing the Word of God. In fact, if you go and analyze the parable of the sower, you might say with accuracy that each kind of soil hears the Word the same, but does something different with it. The path, which is stony and hard, not rocky, but just like pavement, the path hears the word lands on it, but it doesn't do anything. The rocky soil hears the word and it springs up quickly, but it doesn't produce anything. And so when you analyze the parable of the sower, you find out that the soils, the thing that makes the soil different, is how it has received the word that has been sown. And we said last week that Jesus uniquely uses the term the Word, not the gospel, not the good news, but the Word to draw a broader circle around all that's being said. So that this does not just apply to, for example, us sharing our faith with an unbeliever. This has to do with God or any person he chooses sharing his word with anyone. and at any state in spiritual development. And so with that kind of background, when we begin to look at the statements that follow, we see that they are related to this theme of hearing. I want to point that out to you in verse 18, and then we're going to go back and read the text. But in verse 18, there are two very important words. And it's interesting what words take on significance in the Scripture. Because the two important words in the first part of verse 18 are so and for. S-O and F-O-R. You wouldn't think that those would be important words, would you? We kind of tend to use words like that to just connect our thoughts and statements and string them together and maybe not pay a lot of attention to them. But notice that when Jesus is talking about the lampstand, he makes this statement. So take care how you listen. In other words, he's been talking about listening, even though he's been talking about a lampstand. So take care how you listen. Because of what I just said. Take care how you listen. That's the so. And then he follows it immediately with for, and he says, whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. There's a connecting word. So, take care how you listen, for the one who has, more will be given. And the one who doesn't have, what he does have, will be taken away. That connects all of these statements together around the theme that goes back to the parable of the sower. Now, you and I were taught in English class, composition, not to mix metaphors. But I want you to know that does not apply in the Bible. And when Jesus is doing it, he has perfect right to mix up metaphors any way he wants. And he goes from sowers to lampstands having stuff to family, all in the span of just a few verses. And they all have significance and relationship to one another. So with that background, let's read the text and then look at it a little more closely. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. But he answered and said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it, or who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Now you notice that the parable of the sower ends with the seed that fell on that noble and good heart, and it produced 100-fold. So Jesus concludes his story about the sower with the idea that those who really receive the word of God and take it into their lives and give it a place to grow and develop become very fruitful people. And then he says another connecting word, now. Those who light a lamp put it on a lampstand. They don't put it under the bed. They don't hide it under a bushel or a cover or put it under a box. They put it out where everyone can see. Jesus is making a connection between being fruitful and being light. And I remember when we were going to Tacoma Falls College, one of the buildings, it was one of the early buildings built, in the days that we were there, the high school used that building. But up on the front of it, engraved in stone, as you approached through the pillars and up the steps, There was a quotation from the Psalms, "The entrance of thy words, O Lord, gives light." The entrance of your words, O Lord, gives light. And what Jesus has been talking about in the parable of the sower is receiving the word of God, allowing it to be nurtured, allowing it to flourish, allowing it to produce a hundredfold, a big harvest. And he immediately likens that to someone who is bearing light. As the word of God comes into our lives, it brings light. It illuminates. The purpose of a light is to illuminate. You know, you don't get up in the middle of the night, and if you turn on a light, immediately stick it under the bed so it won't, cause your night blindness or whatever. You turn on a light so you can see what's in the room so you don't stumble. You want to illuminate the room, or maybe it's the one in the ceiling, and its purpose is to shine light on everything so you can see what you're doing. And the purpose of light is to expose what's hidden. You know, typically when I get ready to go to bed, I'll tell you secrets now, but when I get ready to go to bed, I slip my feet out of my shoes and I leave them at the end of the bed. But every once in a while, I don't get them at the end of the bed. I leave them on the side of the bed. Well, it's not a good thing to encounter those in the dark because I'm not expecting them to be there. And sometimes I stumble. It's much better if I can see where I left my shoes. And so the idea is that you want to expose what is hidden by darkness and shadows. And that happens when the Word of God comes into our lives. God intends to use His Word to illumine us so that what is hidden can come out into the open, so that our lives can be changed by His Word. Remember Jesus' word when He said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is it that reveals truth to us that is liberating? It's the Word of God applied by the Holy Spirit to our heart. As He deals truth in our lives to expose the clever ways that we hide from ourselves and hide from one another. When we hide from ourselves, we call that rationalizing. When we hide from one another, we call that putting up a front. And I'm not talking about being indiscretionate, but I'm talking about the fact that many people spend their lives hiding from themselves and hiding from other people, and they spend their lives in bondage, locked up inside of this whole web that they have woven because they don't understand the truth about themselves or about really anyone else. Their relationship struggle, and they have all kinds of issues because of that. But the Scripture says that we will know the truth. The truth will bring freedom. It illuminates the dark things. It exposes the blackness of the heart. It uncovers the motives. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, quite a few years after Jesus said these words, by inspiration writes that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to divide asunder, to separate out the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the Scripture says, "The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it?" But the Scripture also says, when the Word of God is applied by the Holy Spirit as a two-edged sword in our lives, it exposes the thoughts and intents of our heart. It gives discernment to what's going on inside of us. And God ministers to us through His Word. I want to ask you a question. How do you hear the Word of God? How are you hearing me right now? Are you intently focused on what I'm saying? Are you thinking about what you're going to have for lunch when you get out of here? Are you thinking about your plans for the afternoon? Are you wandering off in other directions? Are you playing with your iPhone?
Didn't I say that?
Out loud. What's happening inside of your mind right now as you're hearing the word preached? How are you hearing it? What's going on? When you have your devotional experience, do you open the scriptures and invite God to talk to you? Or do you want to quickly get through the day's scripture reading so you can check it off the list? I did my devotions. Like, I did the dishes. I took a shower. I read the Bible. Check. And is God allowed to speak in that moment? You know, when I really came back to God as an older teen with my whole heart, I had trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 7 years old, and I was serious about that, and for many years I grew in the Lord. I was in Sunday school, I was in church, I studied the Scriptures, I was interested in the things of God. And then I got into my teen years and things began to kind of go off the wire a bit. I had some issues in my own life, and then my dad was diagnosed with cancer and he died when I was 15, and a number of things happened along the way. And quite honestly, as some of you have heard my story, I got pretty upset with God. I was angry, I was bitter, I was disillusioned, I felt God had let me down. I shut him out of my life. I really wanted to be left alone by God. I didn't want him bothering me. But I couldn't live without him. And I soon found that my life was empty and I wasn't going anywhere and I was sinking into depression. I wasn't able to think clearly. And then finally, after about a year or so, when I was not seven but 17, the conviction of the Holy Spirit finally gripped me. The love of God gripped me. The call of God claimed me. And I found myself falling down before Him in the privacy of my room and asking Him to take over again. I had made a mess. I was not doing well. And I needed God to change me. And in order to make that decision, at that time, I knew it was all or nothing. I had to take my hands off. I had to let Him completely have my life. Whatever He wanted to do, I could not hold back from Him. And I made that commitment. And very quickly, there developed within me a hunger for the Word of God, a yearning to be taught by Him. And I can remember coming home from school in those days and putting my books on the bed and sitting down at my desk and opening the Bible. And I would pray a prayer very much like this, quite literally, Lord, teach me. As I read Your Word, teach me. Explain Your Word to me. Give me understanding. I was fertile ground. I was tilled soil. I was ready for the seed. And as I opened the Scripture and began to read, it almost felt as if the Holy Spirit were sitting beside me, explaining and pointing things out. And He would make me think of verses that I would never have put together. And I would have these aha moments as He, the author of all of Scripture, began to connect the dots for me and to form an understanding of His Word, so that it began to shape my life. And my hunger for His Word just got deeper and deeper because I wanted to hear all that He had to say. And in the process, He was dealing with my life. He was exposing things. He was getting into my heart. He was showing me things that He wanted to fix and correct and, you know, straighten out. And I want to tell you something. He's still doing that. After all these years, He's still digging in my heart and working in my life, and He's still bringing things up that need to be changed, and some things that I only saw superficially in the early days, He's going deeper with those things and to a new level. And so throughout my life, since that time of being sold out to Him, God has been opening my heart and my life. And when I prepare a sermon, yeah, I read some commentators and I look at the original languages, but primarily I want to hear God talk to me. I want to hear what He has to say. I want Him to speak freshly into my heart. I want Him to teach me what He means. I remember a few weeks ago when I was reading over this passage and scratching my head and saying, wow, there's some really tough stuff here. What does this mean? Jesus is making some hard statements. I don't understand them. But the more that I thought about it, the more I studied, the more I talked with people, and the more I listened to God, the light began to be shed on the passage. A.W. Tozer used to write a column in the Alliance Weekly, as it was called then, decades ago. And his devotional thoughts were so significant that they were collected in different collections and put into booklets. And one of the booklets, I've never forgotten the title, God Tells the Man Who Cares. God tells the person who cares, man or woman. He tells the individual that wants to understand, that wants to know. And when His Word comes into our life, it brings light. It illuminates. It explains. It brings out the hidden things. And the Word of God has that powerful effect. And you know, as we talk about it, as we share it, as it becomes a part of the fabric of our lives, and we find ourselves just communicating the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is free to use it in the lives of others. Isn't that cool? That you can be an ambassador of God speaking His Word in a way that His Word brings light to others. The Holy Spirit applies it to their heart. Sometimes we don't even know how He's going to apply it. I'm often amazed at what some of you say to me as you leave church on Sunday morning. And you heard something I said, and God just touched your heart with it. And the curious thing, although I don't always reveal it, is, wow, that's not exactly what I meant, but I think that's pretty neat that God took something I said and spoke to your heart, and He has a way of doing that. Because the context that Jesus has immediately left is fruit-bearing, 100-fold, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us as we become light-bearers. So Jesus says, so take care how you listen. Give it your whole heart. Open your life to Him. Invite Him to speak to you and be willing to receive whatever He gives, because whoever has, to him more will be given. The more you open your life to the ministry of the Holy Spirit through His Word, the more He will share with you. God tells the person that cares. And the more you listen to Him, the more He will say. But you know what? Some people have hard hearts. There's bitterness in their lives. There's resistance. And the Word of God comes and lands on them. And wow. They may even get excited in the moment and have this flash of insight and say, oh, this is neat. Remember, Jesus said some of the seed fell in the ground and it was received with joy. And then the cares of life and the problems and things choked it out. And sometimes we think we got it, but actually our hearts were not very receptive. And pretty soon we found we didn't have it. I share with you a little experience that that happened to us last evening. Rowena had a piano recital, and so we came to the recital. Now, our front spigot has not been used all year, but it was used Friday evening, and it was used early Saturday morning, just briefly, and shut off. The only thing I can conjecture is that it had again frozen and been damaged during the harsh winter, even though the stem is about that long on it. Something happened, and it weakened it, and it was just kind of waiting to give way. And so we came to the recital. When we got home, normally I would just hit the garage door opener, back into the garage, hit the garage door opener, close it, and go in the house. Except we had stuff we had to get out of the car on both sides, and I said, why don't I just stop here and we'll unload the car and then I'll back in. Well, we stopped in front of the garage and opened the car doors and immediately heard the rushing flood of water. And it was like, whoa, something's leaking. And we had trouble a year ago, and the water bill was astronomical. It was leaking in such a way that we didn't realize it until we had 6 inches of water standing not in the front yard, but in the backyard. And when it started seeping up through the crack in the basement floor, I realized that our whole house was floating in a lake that we had created from the front faucet running down the foundation under the house and up. Well, anyway, that was a mess. Long story. And so we get home last night and we hear this water running and look, and the spigot is just pouring water out and it's turned off. Obviously, the stem valve has broken. And I ran up to Home Depot and got a valve and came back. And by the time I got back, the whole driveway was wet and water's running down the driveway. And that made me realize something. It had not been running but a few minutes before we got home. If it had broken right when we left, it would have been gallons of water. If it had broken after I backed in and closed the garage, we might not have noticed. But as it were, God allowed the faucet to break. I think there was an angel standing there with his finger in it, waiting for us to get home so he could take his finger out and call attention, and we were able to fix it with relatively little loss. And I say that to say that when the Word of God is permeating and saturating your life, the cares and the troubles and the difficulties and the struggles of life become woven into a theme of thankfulness. And I'm not always like that. I want to be honest with you. But if we are resistant or hard, or we haven't heard the Word for a while, or we haven't been in the Word, life is one big pain. God has a way of wanting to bring it together for us. And I saw His providence and His love in this simple little thing. I don't think that those kinds of things are accidents. You know, I think God was saying, I want you to notice this. And events were such that we did. And that's why I believe this prayer meeting we're having Wednesday night is so important. Listen, the County Transportation Board is probably going to be meeting at the same time. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect it because of what we've been told. We can be here praying and speaking to God, and He can lead us in our praying in such a way that those people will be affected by the Holy Spirit, and their choices will be influenced by His presence because of our prayer. Do you believe that? Otherwise, why pray? What are we doing? We may as well watch TV. We pray because it makes a difference. We pray because God is involved in our lives. And the Word of God is such that if we are filled with His Word and it's growing in our lives, He gives us more and more and more. But if we're resistant and stony and indifferent. Even if it has a momentary flash, it's not long before the cares of life and the frustrations and the struggles obscure the Word of God. And I like the way the Scripture says, even what he thinks he has. So many people, actually the Greek word behind that word think is to have an opinion. Even what you have an opinion about, even what you think you know, will just vanish away. You didn't really get it. It really didn't take root. You didn't catch the meaning. We were not meant to read the Word to be biblically smart. We are given the written Word to be spiritually developed. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak it freshly to our ears so that that word that is written on the page or behind the glass, however the case may be nowadays, that word that is written here becomes a part of the fabric of my life. When God speaks this word fresh to my heart, in the moment, by his power. And the more I receive, it can be like drinking from a fire hose. If you're really hungry and thirsty, God will fill you up. And the more you have, the more you'll get, because you have that attitude. Well, in the midst of all of this, Jesus' mother and brothers show up. And you know, here's another tough statement. If you just take this at face value, you know, what are we inclined to hear? Jesus, your mom and your brothers are out there. They're not my mother, my brothers. That's not what he says, is it? What he says is, you are my mother and my brothers. Who are my mother and my brother? You are my mother and my brothers. If you hear what I say and put it into practice. Jesus is not denying his family. But there's a teaching moment here where he can turn to his audience and say, you're my family. You want to know how to have a relationship with me that's like a mom or a brother? You want to know how to be close to me? Listen to my word and put it into practice. That builds intimacy between us. I know you're paying attention, and I love that. And I will draw close to you, and we'll be tight. We'll walk together because you're listening to me and you're willing to put it into practice. You know, if all of his brothers were there, and that's the implication, guess who was among them? James. Not the apostle James, who was the first martyr, but James, the brother that he grew up with, who became an elder in the church in Jerusalem, who wrote the letter of James. And guess what James says? Very interesting. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 22. Do not be hearers only, but be doers of the word. I wonder if this was echoing back in his mind. You know, he's thinking back to this scenario where he and his mom have come, and it's like, oh, what's Jesus doing? What's he up to? We're going to have to go talk to him. And he hears this statement come out, you are my mother, my brothers, if you hear what I say and put it into practice. And James gets it. I don't know if he got it that day, but he got it. And later on, he writes it. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Put it into practice. And so my question for you this morning is, how do you hear the word? How are you hearing the word? So be careful how you listen. You have an open heart? Are you open to the Spirit of God? Do you want him to talk to you? Are you hungry to grow? Do you yearn for the next thing He has to say? I'm going to check off my devotions and just get through this chapter so I can get on with my day. You know, or, I'm supposed to be in church, but got a lot of stuff on my mind. I can just think about it while I'm there, you know. What's going on? What kind of hearer are you? Are you the kind that receives the light? Are you the kind that shines it out? Are you the kind that gets more and more because you're so hungry? Are you the kind that's so close to Jesus because you're listening to what He has to say and you're walking together and you're getting it? And wow, what a close relationship. Or is it just noise in the background? God tells the person that cares. And He'll tell you if you care. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll speak to you. And He'll fill you full of His presence and of His wonderful light. And it'll make such a difference in your life. The whole world gets reinterpreted in what we call a biblical worldview. But what we mean by that is when you see it through God's eyes, the whole world will be different because of the light that shines. Father, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Open our ears. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give us receptive hearts, fertile ground, open lives that we can grow to desire the sincere milk of the Word and then the meat and to become mature teachers. For by this time we ought to be teachers. To become teachers of Your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.